It's time to learn what's happening in nearby Sauk Prairie. Rolla Bresch is here with another edition of Mornings at McFarland's from our 99.7 FM studios at McFarland's in Sauk City. Today's program is brought to you by DeMars Plumbing, Prairie Clinic, and Sophie's Fine Jewelry and Gift Shop.
Nothing could be finer than to be on Carolina in the morning. I could tell you, and I wouldn't be lying, that I'm excited to talk with Jeffrey Ryan in the morning at McFarland's. Yeah, I'm just so keyed up this morning, folks. I can't even rhyme correctly. Well, I rhyme correctly, but then I forgot the second line is supposed to end at McFarland's. Well, how could I forget that? But, some days I'm just a little bit, my brain's on vacation a little bit, and I got excited about this because our guest this morning is Jeffrey Ryan. Jeff contacted me sort of out of the blue, I would have to say. I had done a show at the end of June that Jeff was in the area and was listening. Well, you tell the story, Jeff. It was really kind of cool from my perspective.
I was actually listening in Devil's Lake Campground from my van on a transistor radio, if anyone knows what that still is. I'm pretty old school. I have a 1985 Vanagon Volkswagen.
Okay. Which is a real cultural icon, I think.
Absolutely is.
A sign of Gucci retro.
Yes. So. And so is the show.
Isn't that the truth? And we're a couple of Gucci retro guys,
I think. Absolutely.
Here we go. So, Jeff, you are an author of actually one book that's already published and a second one that's going to be coming out shortly. And the more I started to talk with you by email, the more I thought, oh, this is just like one of those, blessings that only happens every once in a while, so you just got to grab it when you can.
Right.
So thanks for being on the show this morning with me.
Thank you.
Just a real pleasure to meet you, and thanks for reaching out, because I've had a couple of authors on the show before. We've had Elise Moser, who had done a show, actually, we should talk about that after the air, but a book on Millie Zanto, who you'd be interested in. She's a recycling person that actually came up with a little symbol that's on plastic bottles.
Very cool.
And then Jerry Apps has also been on the show, who's a Wisconsin agricultural history expert and just a great weaver of stories, as you are as well. I just read a little bit of your book this morning. I got through about 2.5, maybe 3 chapters. And I have to tell you, and I'm not just blowing smoke up inappropriate places here, I have to tell you, you have a really engaging style. I thought it's very approachable. But I think what really matters is that you write with a real passion about what you did. And the topic is the Appalachian Trail, which I have a brother-in-law that is doing the Appalachian Trail. He's got like this, Great American Tour he's doing every other year.
Right.
And the trail is one of the things he's trying to do the entire thing.
Great.
So I think it might take him longer than 28 years, but that's okay. So how did you start on that journey?
Wow. Well, by accident, like most things, happenstance played a lot into it. I was working at L.L. Bean, one of the outdoor outfitting companies of renown, and they had given me a 6-month leave of absence to hike from Mexico to Canada when I was 25.
Really?
Which I did, and they outfitted myself and my two buddies with gear, and off we went. And I had a 6-month leave of absence, and when I got back, I got a job writing about their equipment in the mail order catalog.
So a true field test.
Yes. Yeah. And what ended up happening was they told me, you can have this job, which I've always wanted, but the stipulation was I could never take this epic 6-month leave of absence type thing anymore. So I was hiking around, and I met a friend of a friend who had expressed interest in hiking, and the friend mentioned my name, so I had met this fellow once. His name was Wayne Sear, and we went for a hike on Mount Katahdin in Maine. He asked me, which is the terminus of the AT, and he asked me if I'd take some friends of his from work up Katahdin, and we happened to go up the Appalachian Trail.
Okay.
So we had a picture of us taken on the top, and little did we know that was the beginning of a 28-year saga. We actually started hiking over in Vermont, and one night he said to me in the tent, "You do realize that we're doing the Appalachian Trail," and I actually burst out laughing. I had the same reaction you did and said, "Dude, this will take us 30 years." And he said, "So what?" And I went, "Oh my God, he's right." So we every winter we just took turns and jumped on different parts of it. We didn't do it linearly.
Okay.
It was, let's do part of Pennsylvania, let's do part of Virginia, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, you have a quote in the preface of the book that just really spoke to me. You said that if we head in the direction of our dreams and accept the winds and rains that will test our resolve, we can experience the deep satisfaction of looking back upon the path of a life well lived. And I thought, you know, that's so profound in so many ways, and yet so simple too, because I think of how many people that are frustrated because their lives are never the journey that they wanted it to be, that they thought it should be, that they thought they deserved perhaps, and instead of looking at it and realizing that they're on a journey that if they would appreciate it for what it is, they'd be so much happier.
Absolutely.
And that's just such a wonderful thing that you learned on that trail and the practical aspects of that.
Oh, yes. It's going to rain. You're going to have bad days. You're going to have bad physical days. You're going to have bad mental days. And you just keep plugging along. And almost every time without fail that I've pushed through those things, I've gotten to the top of these mountains and seen incredible views that if you didn't have to work for them, you probably wouldn't appreciate them quite
right.
as much.
Well, gosh, I mean, I just saw a few of the pictures as I was thumbing through it on my Kindle version, which obviously is not as wonderful as having it right in front of you, but some of the vistas are just incredible.
They really are.
It's just, you know, we were talking a little bit before the show about the falls that were at the terminus in Maine. Those are near Thoreau Spring, right?
Right, right.
So, which is about, what, a third of the so
it,
up?
It's two-thirds of the way up. It's right. It's above tree line, actually.
Okay.
So you're on this wide-open plateau, and there's a stream spring bubbling up out of the ground.
Okay.
And then Thoreau made it there.
Okay.
And turned around and went back because it got foggy.
Well, there's a story about that, too, because there was a kid that got lost up there.
In 1939, a 12-year-old boy got lost, and it's really amazing. He walked around in the woods for almost 2 weeks.
Okay.
And when he was 59 pounds when they found him, he was wearing no shoes. He just stumbled around in the woods and ate berries, basically.
Jeez.
And talk about resolve. And he was almost so weak he could barely call for help anymore. And he was on the edge of a lake, and a fellow's dog heard him and started barking and basically saved his life. And he became an international phenomenon. He was headline news throughout the world. His name was Don Fendler, with two N's, Don. And just an amazing guy,
well,
and I got to meet him.
Yeah, you met him later on. He's like 84 or something?
Yeah, he was in his 80s, and it was really cool because when I was in sixth grade, they would read this book about survival in Maine to all the school kids, and I was one of them, and the teacher would read pieces of it every day, and the kids were absolutely enthralled that this had happened because it was age appropriate, of course.
Sure.
And so I got to meet him. I was actually writing the first chapter of the book, which is about Katahdin, when I got a phone call from the head of the Maine Historical Society saying, I can't believe I didn't think of this before, but Don Fendler is giving a lecture in 15 minutes. Can you make it? And I was two blocks away, and I ran over, and there he was. And I stood up at the end of the lecture, and I said, you know, Don, I have to tell you, I think of two people every time I hike Katahdin, which has been numerous times, fortunately. And I said, you and Henry David Thoreau. And he got a twinkle in his eye, and he said, well, you know, Thoreau never made it to the top either. And I thought, boy, for a guy in his 80s, he hadn't lost a step at all.
Boy.
So that was awesome.
Well, and Thoreau even, didn't he carve his name into a rock or
he
something
did.
Up there?
He did, yeah.
So he took that advantage of getting that name out there that someone would know he made his mark.
Well,
so.
And the one thing that Thoreau did say before the clouds rolled in was looking down on the lakes of Maine from that summit was like God had broken a mirror and there were shards everywhere. It was glints of sunlight. And I thought, what a really amazing description of the landscape.
Sure, sure. Well, and wasn't Don, he went up there with a young friend too, and the friend stayed in a cleft of a rock or whatever
right.
for shelter, but Don decided he was going to go and try to get help?
He was going to go back to his father and his uncle, who
okay.
were further down the trail. And when the mists come in up there, you can't see your fingers in front of your face.
Sure.
And his cousin was saying, I wouldn't go back, and I'd just stay here until they come up to us. And he walked off the mountain and got lost in what they called a Klondike. It's incredibly remote even today. There's not even a road in there.
Well, there's a beautiful shot of you and all the friends that were along with it. I thought you made a comment about every time you add people to a trek like that, you add potentially, you know, you might not make it to where you plan to.
Right.
And then that's okay, that you kind of have to adjust your philosophy or your expectations to say, well, you know, I wanted to get all the way up, but it's okay.
Right.
And that's one of those lessons.
Sure, it absolutely is adjusting. Yeah. You can't have a plan etched in stone and think that that's going to be the outcome, because it's a happy circumstance if it does, but most often it doesn't.
Well, and oftentimes what you do get to in some ways can be more rewarding than what you thought.
Right.
Well, my wife has taught me that lesson over and over again, and yet, you know, here I am 57 years old, and you'd think I would get it by now, but there's sometimes it didn't go the way I wanted, and she's just like, will you grow up and realize, just appreciate what is. Well, and you made another point that I thought was really simple and profound, was that you learn to make choices and take responsibility for those choices, that sometimes, you know, whether you bring the fondue or you don't bring the fondue.
The 5-pound fondue, right.
Which is a great thing to have, but it carries, you know, it's a lot of weight to carry along when you consider that, you know, everything is measured in ounces and, you know, physical space. So, and you live with those choices.
You do. And what's interesting, too, about the way we did it is Wayne and I were complete opposite personalities. So some of the decision making was really interesting because we had such different views. And so he's a planner and I'm not so much. I'm more go with the flow. And I had to learn a lot from him and vice versa. So
sounds
really
like a marriage made in heaven.
It was. Yeah. But and the interesting part is, a lot of people ask me about this, is when you're hiking with someone, at least my point of view is, you don't need to be hiking lockstep with them and 3 feet away from them all day long. In fact, it's probably not desirable. And when you need time to yourself, you can go faster or go slower or adjust that way.
Sure.
And you're having an experience together. You're doing the same thing, but it's like being in two different kayaks as opposed to being in a canoe together where you're kind of stuck there.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, the path is the path and your pace is your pace and it all works out.
Well, you have to sort of plan and decide how many miles you really want to put in today in order to make the overall objective. But some days rain hits and you can't make as much as you thought you were going to make, and then you try to make it up other days. And
exactly.
I really think that's an important lesson for Americans in general. You know, we're big on our rights and not very big on our responsibilities sometimes.
Yeah, totally agree.
It sounds like this taught you that.
Yeah, and also I think the other thing that a lot of people have resonated with this book is taking a big goal and chipping away at it.
Yeah.
You had talked before about how people tend to kind of end up and go, how did I get here? And I sort of call it the accidental career. you end up in a place and you think, my gosh, how did I get down this path? But the point of it is, you don't have to jump off that path and onto another one. You don't have to cash in the 401k and you don't have to quit your job and you don't have to do all that stuff, which is a little terrifying.
Yeah.
And we're constantly being preached, you know, take the big leap, do the big, and that's all well and good if you have the constitution to do it. But I think the poking away at it thing is much more achievable and within reach of people. So,
well, you talk about that a number of times, that perseverance, the persistence, the ability to just kind of pick yourself up. What's the old saying? I think I heard it in a movie. I believe it goes further than that, but it's not about getting knocked down. It's about picking yourself back up.
Right.
And that seems to be one of the hardest lessons for people to learn is, you know what? Life didn't promise to not knock you down.
Right.
So, and that's okay.
And editors do that too.
Yeah, anyone that criticizes a creative person knocks you down, let me tell you. Well, our guest this morning is Jeffrey Ryan, author of Appalachian Odyssey and another new book, which you're going to talk about as soon as we come back from this little commercial break here to hear a word from our sponsors, which I have to say, that's part of my journey that I didn't know was going to start, is we actually have sponsors on this show. That is a wonderful thing that people believe enough and Mornings at McFarland's want to be here. So we'll be right back, folks. Don't go anywhere. We've got lots of more great stuff to talk about with Jeffrey Ryan.